This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Fan Studio Showroom. This is the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan.
I love the sound of that, the Balcones Tolo Open House. Come on down today and be part of it. We got some Tolos here with us right now. They're enjoying some food from Walk-Ons. A lot of people are enjoying some of the Balcones whiskey. They have all the samples. They have all four of the samples today. It's the Texas Rye, the 100 proof, the Baby Blue, the True Blue, and the Single Malt. And Kevin's been trying to steal my bottle all day. I'll let you know which one
okay.
you have, sir.
Okay.
Come on down here today, 4131 North Central Expressway. We have the Football Power Hour with Brian Broadus right now. And we will do, Kevin, I think we're going to do an Ask Broadus segment at 12:40. Does that work for you?
Yes.
So you can we'll have the mic open, and we'll have everybody, they can ask any questions they want to Broadus, and we'll just step aside.
He's a very learned fellow.
Yes, he is.
Learned it.
Broadus, welcome to the show,
Thank
man.
You. Appreciate that. Very nice.
I saw a question asked to you on Twitter, and if you want to follow Broadus on Twitter, it's at Brian Broadus. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Your goal, if you do that, should be to ask a question so ridiculous that he just goes, no. Although you've eased back on that, which makes me kind of sad.
Yeah, I've stopped being a jackass is what I've tried to do. But
well,
no, yeah. Twitter's a good way to interact with me. I tend to go through questions, but I'm more about the – and I learned this doing the post-game show. You know, I'll challenge people. You know, I'll challenge people to give an answer. You know, I don't want it to be a big – you know, I just make some random statement and, you know, try. I challenge people to think about what they're saying and ask away. I like that, the back and forth of that. But if you're going to be if you're going to be bad about it, I'll avoid questions that way.
Some of my favorite stuff that Kevin and I've done is whenever, you know, we have stuff where we're both in line with
sure.
what we think, but
sure.
then whenever it's like, no, I completely disagree.
Oh, but that's sports.
Becomes, yeah.
That's sports. There's a lot of people, like I say, the great thing I've learned too about the draft and the media side of the draft is that the interaction that we have with that I have with the fans. You know, they might see players a different way. I have no problem with somebody interacting with me and talking about, well, I saw this guy. You and I have some discussions about this
yep.
all the time. And as long as you take the opportunity to however you want to watch the players, whether it's TV copy or you get your hands on some YouTube film or whatever, you know, your opinion's your opinion. Just ask that you do that in a way that it's your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let it be your opinion because I'll challenge you and you'll challenge me and I think that's the interaction you need to have in this world.
Yeah, and you know, when we used to have Frank Provenzano on.
Great guy. He's lived it. He's
yeah.
been there.
He,
yeah.
He
yeah.
always
yeah.
said, man, what Broadus and Jeff do, what those guys are doing, that's real quality scouting stuff. Those are the conversations you hear whenever you walk into a scouting room.
Yeah, I think the great thing about working with Jeff and then with KT, the 5 years that we did this all together, was that there was that back and forth. They really challenged me very early. And then as I worked along, I started saying, well, these guys understand this. They, you know, they built a pretty good file of players that they could pull from. Well, this guy reminds me of this kid we watched at
sure.
Louisville last year.
Yeah.
Well, remember the guy at Cal Poly that we watched? See, that's where you get to a point where you do it long enough where you can pull players' names and remember, this player reminds me of this guy. So, yeah, but just as long as everybody's does the work, it's really cool to have that kind of interaction.
And Kevin, I know you hear the promo, and I think the Tolos hear it too. The more you listen, the harder we grind.
Yeah,
and
yeah. That's us. Yeah,
I think that's something we've always talked about grinding in the film room.
That's what you got to do.
You actually got to put the work in.
You got to if you do, you put the work in, you can learn a lot.
Yeah,
you know, and it's fun to do the work and then see these guys play. For you know, it might not be for the Dallas Cowboys, they might be playing for other teams. Oh, you're watching the Red Zone channel, you go. Oh, that's the guy. I remember him. Oh, Tyler Higbee from the man. He was the Arkansas. Remember him? You know, and you could kind of draw from your college experience of watching him play.
And I was just instructed to go watch the Redskins, so
yeah,
I
heard
some
that.
Stuff to do.
I heard that Brian Baldinger did not like your analysis
he
of the Redskins.
Did. He goes, I don't believe that at all.
Did you watch him play the Packers?
I'm just going to tell you, this is what's going to happen if and when the Cowboys lose to the Rams. That's what we're going to hear. Well, it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. We just got to beat the Eagles. That's exactly what's going
to
happen.
It's tough though to go through the way the Cowboys are playing. You know, this is a game. I'm one of those guys, and if you follow me on Dallas Cowboys.com, you know, I always got in this discussion. People would say, well, this is not a must-win game. And I'm like, what? You know, my experience was you're either going to be one of the good or one of the bad. You know, so you got to find a way. They're all going to add them up. Then there's only 16 of these. And so what you're doing is you got to win them all if you can, because that at the end of the day, then they're going to say, okay, this is your seed. This is where you have to play. This is all about it. And, you know, if they come up one game short, you could talk about, well, what was that one game? Was it the Saints? Was it the Jets? Was it the Vikings? What was the game that was the one that they came up short that they needed to win?
That's kind of like the closer idea. Sometimes the closing inning is the sixth inning.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's the eighth inning. You just never know. You always go back.
Yeah.
Now, the question I saw asked to you was Ron Rivera, Urban Meyer, or Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
And we asked Jerry a little bit about Lincoln Riley earlier today.
I was there for that game, too.
He gushed about him. Yeah. I saw you there with some friends of ours.
Right.
And you said Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I like Lincoln Riley a lot. And I think that, let me say this about Urban Meyer, though. I think the clearest path for Jerry Jones to be Jerry Jones, the general manager, where he can suggest that, hey, we really like Kellen Moore, or we really like Mark Colombo. You know, Urban Meyer is more open to possibly having a coach on staff from the previous staff. And I know that drives people nuts, but general managers do recommend guys.
Okay.
General managers do.
So I shouldn't think that's problematic.
It just so happens that the owner is the general manager, and we all feel like that he meddles. But I know general managers around the league. I've worked with several of them, that guys that grew up with me as scouts. John Dorsey in Cleveland, John Snyder in Seattle, Tom Dimitroff in Atlanta. These were all guys that we grew up together, so I know. But they recommend, hey, listen, have you thought about a tight ends coach? Have you thought about a secondary coach? I'm kind of leaning on this guy. Well, hey, could you interview this guy?
Do they do it for coordinators,
too? Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, okay. Yeah, and the thing about Urban Meyer is I think he would be more open to his staff being potentially that guy. Maybe if you do like Kellen Moore, or you do like Mark Colombo, or you do like Leon Lett as a defensive line coach. So, yeah.
Because he thinks he can teach them, or because he doesn't have a job right now?
Well, no, what he – in what way are you asking the question here?
Urban Meyer thinks
I think the thing about Urban Meyer that's unique is the fact that he is one on every level. We've talked about that, whether it's at Utah, whether it's at, you know, when he went to Florida, when he went to Ohio State. He's put a lot of players in this league. So obviously the thing about it, and the one thing I give Jason Garrett credit for is I think he knows talent. I think he knows the evaluation side of things. Urban Meyer is on a whole nother level because of he's recruited a lot of these kids. He knows a lot of these kids, and he's put a lot of these kids in the league. So he knows what it takes to play. That part of it helps you from the team-building aspect of it. But what Urban Meyer can help you is from the accountability part of it, you know, with the coaches and stuff. So I think the thing that makes Urban Meyer interesting, and even though I do like Lincoln Riley, I'll get to Lincoln Riley in a second.
And I don't feel like we should rule out Matt Rhule.
I actually put a guy, Mike Lombardi's son, Maddie, I put him on that staff at Baylor. He was with Matt Rhule and those guys at Baylor and really did a great job. Now he went to work with the Miami Dolphins. He left Baylor to go with Miami. But he said nothing but great things about Matt Rhule and the type of job that he was able to do. So yeah, I don't think you can rule him out at all. But they're in the middle of recruiting right now. You know, they got the early signing day coming up. So these college coaches have to be very guarded about what they say. A Dan Mullen has to be very guarded about what he says. A Lincoln Riley has to be very guarded about what he says, because you don't want it to be a deal where. And I was recruited by SMU. Back in the 80s, 1982, Ron Meyer went to New England, and Steve Endicott, the coach at the time, who was recruiting me for SMU, said, hey, Brian, we're going to the pros. We're leaving to go to New England. So you don't – and the signing day and stuff's different now than it was back in 1982.
But coaches still talk about – I've heard several coaches or players say that they were told, hey, their coach is leaving,
yeah,
so don't go there.
You use it as a recruiting tool to kind of block someone as a big club. But the whole thing with Urban Meyer, I think it's the cleanest, because again, and the thing with Urban is that he's had enough people go into Florida and Ohio State coaches that he knows that if he ever thought, he goes, if I was getting together a staff together again, if I was going to do this again, Urban Meyer knows the guys he would want to hire. He knows enough of those pro running back coaches, receiver coaches, offensive line coaches. He knows enough of those guys from people coming into his pro days and having that interaction with him that he could say, hey, I could put together a pretty good staff. I am a fan of Urban Meyer. I really am. I understand that people don't like Urban Meyer for what he did as far as protecting assistants. I know people are against that.
It should go even further beyond
there is. But let me tell you this. Urban Meyer is not the only coach in the National Football League or in college football that doesn't have skeletons in his closet. Mm. Trust me. I've worked with several. I've worked with several. Just go back through my history.
Holmgren.
Okay.
Mike Holmgren. Dave Campo.
Gary Patterson.
Oh, wow. He's going to hit the whole list.
But that's what I'm saying, though. There's guys that you go through that their job is to protect the staff or protect the team, the brand or whatever. And I use the word brand, but more or less the team. So, yeah, I'm a fan of his. I think Lincoln Riley, I think in this day and age, and I don't want to be the dinosaur guy because I turned 56 yesterday. And in football times, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to way back before analytics and all that stuff. So now I'm trying to learn about, okay, throwing the ball. You know, Lincoln Riley, from what I saw live and what I've seen with him with taking quarterbacks, walk-on quarterbacks, guys that have transferred and winning Heisman trophies, and the explosive players that he's used with wide receivers. Again, the talent that they're able to have. They had a pro offensive line last year at Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Four of the five guys we evaluated.
That's why Kyler was always
good. You talk about, well, he understands how to move the football. He's fixed his defense now where it has an opportunity. You know, it could go out there and give LSU challenge. It really can. Watching them live play the other day, it's so much better. But he's another one of those young guys that I feel like Lincoln Riley needs to take this job if offered because he is a young guy. And if he gets, say, after 3 years or 4 years, it doesn't work here, like Steve Spurrier, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Then he could go on and get the Tennessee job.
Yeah.
He could go on and get the Florida State job. He could go on and get the Vanderbilt job. He could go on and get another job because he's young enough. Being the Dallas Cowboys on that resume will not be a deterrent to him getting a job, much like Nick Saban got the Alabama job coming out of Miami. Young enough guy that can do that.
Okay. Well, there you go, Kevin. I'm a big fan.
That was
of
a
Lincoln
long
Riley.
Answer. I'm sorry about
no,
that.
No, I'm a big fan
We've
of Lincoln
We've had you
Riley.
On the show before. I understand.
Yeah, I was like very Brad Sham and Mickey, and I kind of went really long on that answer.
Oh, wow. Shot at Mickey.
Nah, those guys are all right.
That was weird.
Yeah.
All right. So you know how I'm a fan of Lincoln Riley. Yeah. I do wonder, though, Do the same combinations work in the NFL as they are in college now?
Well, that's what the game is turning.
You can find a weakness on every college team.
Yeah, but
the NFL is not necessarily that same thing.
Their weakness is what they've found is they could take guys that these coaches have learned. If it's about scheme, he can go and get receivers that he's had. He can go get a quarterback that he has. I think the pro game is turning into the college game with the way the rules are.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking with Rod Marinelli about this one day, and Rod Marinelli's like, listen, I have a hard time now playing defense in this league because of the way the players are and the way the rules are.
No.
What does he mean by that, first part?
He can't – he's having a hard time because he's like me, a guy that grew up, you know, you run the ball, you play run defense, you pass, you play pat, you know, you get pressure. You know, he's had great players, Saps, McFarlands. I mean, go to the Bears, Urlacher. He's had great defensive players. And nowadays, when you have great defensive players, it kind of gets taken away because the way the rules are. You can't be a banger safety. You can't be a big-time free safety like John Lynch and play anymore. That John Lynch was a big factor in how he played because you had a banger free safety, and these banger free safeties, you know, they don't play the run very much anymore, and they get penalized for every hit they have.
I would be really fascinated to put together that list of the all-time NFL team that couldn't play anymore. Especially
Roy Williams, the Dallas Cowboys. Roy Williams couldn't play in this scheme anymore, or couldn't play in this day and age of football.
That's why he phased out even while he was in his career because it was changing.
The banger Ronnie Lotz.
I was thinking Ronnie Lotz, the person who jumped to my mind.
Well, Jack Tatum. So you go all the way back in the 70s. I mean, before you guys were born. I mean, I was watching games. You know, 10, 12, 13 years old, and those type of the guys. You know, those big banger players.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We will continue the NFL Power Hour with Brian Broaddus next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Ready to do some What Gives. It's Brian Broaddus' best segment of in the entire world. We're getting ready to do that. Hold on real quick, though. Let's hear a little bit from the crowd. I haven't heard you guys. It doesn't have to be a funeral in here. This is awesome. Y'all got a great crowd today for walk-ons. You got some grub going down. We got some Balcones whiskey down here at the studio, the fan holiday open house with Balcones. It's phenomenal that you guys have showed up today. Thanks for the support. And G-Bag Nation will be up at 2 o'clock today. They're going all the way till 7, and they'll bring in some dinner. We're also giving away prizes. Kevin, you did that a few minutes ago.
I did.
Was somebody happy? Did they kiss you? Was that something that went
you
down?
You could tell they wanted to, but right. they didn't, which I appreciate.
It's intimidating being next to you. I understand that. I've done it for years. All right, we do have Brian brought us in with us.
Yeah.
And you know, I think one of the really cool things, and hopefully y'all think it's pretty cool too, during the break, we did ask Brian. And we got a microphone, we're walking around, and just said, hey, if you want to ask Broadus a question.
Good questions,
he's answering questions right now, and yeah. If he just told you it's a good question, he's not the kind of person that's going to BS you.
No, he'll go, was it a good question? No.
Yeah, exactly. No. So, Broadus, let's go ahead and take it away, man. This is a fun segment we started the last time here on the Football Power Hour. What does give, man?
Yeah, what gives? And, again, I appreciate you allowing me to do this. It's a couple different things for this for the Rams Cowboys games, and it has to do really with more of the numbers aspect and really how you think this might work out for the game this weekend. So here we go on this. On the defensive side of things for the Cowboys this week, their passer rating when they blitz, the quarterback's passer rating when they blitz is 104.3. That's 30th in the league passer rating when they blitz for a quarterback. The Rams' passer rating, though, is 74.45 when they face blitz. So Jared Goff's passer rating is 74.45, which is 27th in the league. What gives? Do you blitz Jared Goff, or do you play coverage and defense thinking that you, when you do blitz, you're giving up a 104.3 rating?
I play coverage and defense – partially also because I fear the over-pursuit destroying you in the run game. And so I think I lay back a little bit more and play coverage and defense and take my chances with that.
You're a wuss. I'm blitzing all the time. I want to hurt somebody in this game. I really do. I want to get pressure on Jared Goff this week, even if I'm bad at it. Now, I guess the problem is the Cowboys are light at corner. They're not as good.
Sure.
And even you saw Jordan Lewis's stats.
Yeah,
in the slot
been struggling. Yeah.
And then, great.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Cooper Kupp playing out of the slot is not going to be any fun for him to have to deal. So you feel like, though, Kevin, that to me, that you're just going to say, okay, kind of stay with the plan. I mean, stay with the plan and try and play some coverage, rush four, and try and handle the back end with the seven. Then
I think so because, like, first of all, I question our ability to get there, even though I heard the statistics that you threw out, and especially with how just troubling our run defense has been. I don't know what's magically going to fix it, but I'll take my chances with not sending, you know, obviously people off the edge, but obviously sending Jalen, and I'll hold back, and hopefully we can kind of, like, take some of the shots there.
There you go. And you're about let's heat this guy up, huh? Heat him up?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry.
That happened to me earlier, too. Don't worry about it.
I'm also playing producer a lot of times.
I got you.
Working on getting Michael Irvin at 1 o'clock.
Got you. Heat him up.
I want to go after the quarterback.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think the more times, the more chances you get at it, because I think sometimes they do it and they're like, oh, it's not working. We've got to stop.
Right.
We're getting killed on that. I think the more you do it, you might have that opportunity to actually get the sack and get the guy there.
Death, slow death or quick death.
I mean, if you're giving up points anyway.
Yards. How about this one? Dallas's offense on third down and 4-6. Okay, they convert 40% of the time. They're the number one team in the league on third down offense when it comes to conversions,
which is surprising.
Yeah, but on yardage of 4-6, they are only converting 40% of the time, which is 24th in the league.
Okay,
the Rams, on the other hand, on third and 4-6, they're only allowing 43% conversion, which is 16. What gives there? Are you the Cowboys? Do you continue? I mean, do you feel like you can convert when they're on only being a 43% of the time? Or are you going to be what you are at 40% and not be able to handle that?
I think you're going to be what you are because I feel like just in general, I didn't look at the specifics of the trends of these two, which I'd be really fascinated to see. But the trends as a team, like the Cowboys are clearly going down and the Rams look like they were done and now they're moving back up.
Right.
So I would, like in my brain, I could see that percentage is like maybe change, positive. And for the Cowboys, it feels like it's been going down.
Yeah.
So I think the Cowboys stick.
It's amazing that they've been able able to convert as many third downs as they have.
I was astonished to hear you say that.
But you get them to four. You get them to 4-6. You can get them off the field, you know, which is fascinating to me because they've been great in long yardage situations, third and seven plus, been outstanding, like almost 45%. But then you get them in that 4-6, which you think would be an easier convert because you have the threat of running and also the threat of pass that they've been awful in that. How about you?
I say get all the yards you can on the first down.
Yeah, convert on second downs.
I mean, sure. Was that an option?
No, it wasn't an option. But I'll tell you, teams talk about converting on second down.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that the Ravens are really good at. Don't get to third down.
Is that what we were talking about with the closer thing, where it's necessarily the ninth inning that's the closer?
Yeah.
It could be. How many times have you seen a drive that ended where you were like, it was second down? Like, we didn't get second down, and that's why we didn't get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you watch the Ravens play, these really good offenses play, they never get the third down. They just continually convert on second down. And the Cowboys in 2016 were really good at that because they got into a bunch of two and three, because second down and three, second down and four, because they were able to get such positive yards on first down. So, yeah, I mean, to me, I think what gives I think you're right, Kevin. I think that, to me, the Cowboys are what they are in that down and distance. And you'd like to see more from Cobb or more from Gallup or more from Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, in those situations.
I absolutely love to see our receivers try and get those conversions.
Dallas's defense in the red zone on third down holds opponents to only 25% conversion. That's third best in the league.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, third best in the league. Wow. Dallas's third down defense in the red zone is at 25% conversion.
Okay.
The Rams, on the other hand, convert 43% of the time on third down in the red zone, which is ninth best in the league. What gives?
This time I will stand up for the Cowboys. I say the Rams give on this one, and it's the Cowboys that stand tall, because one thing that has been consistent is a Cowboys game will deliver you a lot of field goals. Now, that's agitating from the offensive end, but it's super positive from the defensive end, and I believe that the Cowboys' defense on this one, I will stand up for them, and that's what's going to stand firm.
I'm gonna go with Kevin on this.
Let's go. This
is a hungry team, or I'm hoping they are, and this is a time that they need to convert that. They need to convert what they are physically more than anything. And I go back to that Saints game last year when you saw they couldn't even if they got close, they couldn't do anything.
Right.
And I'm really now, again, we saw a different Leighton Vander Esch then, and we don't have that linebacker on this team right now.
Right.
And I also don't know if you have the same Jalen Smith right now, but I think that the Cowboys aren't going to give in this one.
Okay, I like that. Cowboys are going to play good third down defense in the red zone.
Where do you stand on that, since we're in agreement? Are you inclined to believe that will also be the case, or not so much?
Yeah, I think there's a reason why. I mean, they do. It seems like when the field shrinks, they get better, and maybe that's because they don't have to cover as much ground.
Sure.
You know, you do. You get the quick. I mean, things happen. A quarterback's trying to kind of figure out routes in the red zone. Field shrunk. Routes don't look as clear. Holding the ball. Tank gets home. Maybe they get Quinn home. You know, the coverage seems to be kind of muddled back there, but they make it work. So yeah, I think that they'll continue to find ways. You got to make Goff hold the ball. You don't let him get the ball out quick. Don't let him get it to Higbee. Don't let him get it to Cooper Kupp. Don't let him get it to Woods.
If you're blitzing, is that going to be a if you're blitzing, then
yeah, I mean, you're blitzing. You're trying to force the issue. You're trying to force the hand.
Is Troy right when he says that their defense doesn't disguise well enough with these quarterbacks?
Not well enough. No,
really,
absolutely. And that, you know, that could go back to something that we need to talk about is. When you practice, say, Wednesday through Saturday, and you're in each period, say, they work on red zone defense for 8 snaps. But, we blew 2 snaps because we messed up a coverage, we messed up a twist, we messed up a blitz. Now we're having to run 10 plays.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about the players grasping what you're trying to teach? And is it scaring you not to do something in the game?
I think
this is why the Patriots do so well on defense.
I think they're paralyzed by some of their
stuff. Because you got veteran players that veteran players that don't make mistakes. So Belichick could go series to series with his defense because he has the confidence that they're not going to bust on the play.
Mm-hmm.
We might be in a situation where Chris Richard is looking at his defense and like, all right, man, this red zone, I had 8 plays scripted. We had to run 10 because 2 of the plays were busts.
I know I could run that defense.
Yeah,
I want to run
that defense, but I can't run it because my guys might bust. So there might be a little bit of a factor of what are the players learning and what are they bringing from the practice field to the games. What are you laughing about? This is not the nighttime show anymore.
Mark that, Danny. I don't care if it's the nighttime show or not. We're absolutely still going to mark that.
In the last 8 games, Dallas's defense, last 8 games, has given up 153 points, which is 7th best in the league. In the last 8 games, they've given up 100.
It's only 19 a game, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been like just the last 2.
On the other end, the Rams' defense has given up 108.
In the same amount of time?
In 8 games. What gives?
Wow. I would not have guessed that. You know what? Today's the day. I'm a chump.
You're falling into that pit I fall into.
Yeah.
Last week I didn't do it with Ari on the pregame show. I just did not go there. Positivity for 95% of the show, and then the last 5 minutes I went down the tube.
Okay, well, see, I'm usually the flip side. I'm usually always negative. But for some reason, I think the offense is going to show out in this one. Will it be enough to win? I don't know about that. And, in fact, I didn't say that they would. But you know what? So then I guess I shouldn't contradict myself from earlier this week. So I'm going to try this all again. No. The Rams' defense holds up. It's the Cowboys' offense that gives, because I said 31-16, and I have not seen anything to make me change my mind. So, yeah, I guess the Cowboys give.
I think the Rams give in this one. I think that the Cowboys are going to be they're going to be all right.
But you picked them to lose.
Yeah, I know. Because they're going to be all right because they're going to beat Philly. So that's what I'm talking
about.
Do we have time for one more? Or do we need to get going?
No, we got one more.
One more. Okay, here we go. Would you rather have Dak throw for 300-plus yards or Zeke rush for 100-plus yards?
I'd rather have Dak throw for 300-plus yards because I feel like I guess the obvious is, well, maybe he threw for all those yards because you've been playing catch-up. But I feel like one of the things that's been lost about Dak is there's been a couple of drives this year where you got punched in the face and I needed him to lead a drive, and he has failed. So I'm going to go with that for this one.
I'm going to say I would rather have Zeke run for 100 yards.
Or plus.
Yeah, 100 yards plus, because I feel like when you're throwing the ball, there are too many variables that could go wrong, because now I have to rely on one of my receivers to catch the ball. All right. I really need to rely on is Zeke. So if I'm getting that and my defense is playing good, I can win a close game.
How about this number? The Cowboys' winning percentage when Dak throws for 300-plus yards is .333.
In your face.
Oh, which is 23rd in the league.
So that's poor.
See?
When they have a 100-yard rusher, they're at 800, which is 10th best in the league.
See?
So their record is better when they have a 100-yard rusher than when they do a 300-yard passer.
His stats don't care about my feelings.
Just like when Josh Howard hits a 3-pointer at the beginning of the game. You know he's going to shoot him for the rest of the night.
And that we're going to lose. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Come on down to the showroom. It's the Balcones Open House, 4131 North Central Expressway. You don't got to sign up. You just got to show up. Coming up next, we will ask Brian Broaddus, 877-881-1053. Or perhaps people in this very room will get your shot. We'll do all of that next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we are downstairs right now in the Fan Performance Room. It is hosted by Balcones, and they've been pouring a lot of Balcones over there today. They've been pretty busy.
And by the way, we got that iPad set up. If you want something, you can just go boop, and it'll directly show up at Total Wine and More, which is not very far from here. So.
That's the way that you order stuff, too. I see you ordering holiday presents all the time.
I was at Total Wine and More yesterday.
Yeah, so you can order it right here. If you taste one of these and it's your favorite and you're like, man, I just got to have it. I want to drink it tonight while I'm at the house. Go ahead and buy it right here on the iPad and then pick it up on the way home. And we appreciate all the Tolos that are here today. Let's give it up for the Tolos, everybody.
Woo!
Y'all are Tolos. You can clap for yourselves.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to clap for them.
Yeah, we'll clap for the Tolos. And G-Bag Nation will be here from 2 to 7 tonight. They're also going to provide some dinner thanks to the Shark Club. So it's a big fun day, and we really appreciate everybody being here. Yes, Kevin.
From the 214, Tolos not at the open house, just missed the pure athletic grace of Corey Majors.
All right.
That's what you're missing. That was fantastic.
I don't know. You know, every year we do the My Possibilities thing with Brian Broaddus, where we do Peace-a-thon.
Yeah.
And this year we were nominated, we were awarded for our Volunteers of the Year. Thanks to My Possibilities. It was a huge award. I didn't know we were getting it. So I was at and my wife works there. I was at their big event, their big gala, and Flula pops up on the big screen, and he says, "Hey, Corey, hey, Kevin." And Kevin was at Seinfeld, so that's another ordeal.
I apologize to them for not being able to be there.
But Flula pops up on the screen, and he says, thanks for everything you guys have done. Y'all are so awesome. We really appreciate it. And so Flula thanked us for My Possibilities. And on my walk up, Kevin, I saw a little wrinkle in the carpet, and I tripped over that, too. So
Even though you saw it?
Yeah, I'm just clumsy. Or maybe I'm a really good faller. All right.
Okay. That was a weird place that we went to.
Okay. But we have Brian Broaddus with us right now, and if you have questions, he's got answers. 877-881-1053. Do we have the microphone running around as well? Are we running around with the mic? I can't see anybody right now. It's dark back there. So if you have a question in the studio audience.
We've also got plenty of fan text questions, but people can line up for that.
And want to be live on radio.
From the 817, Broaddus, should I give up the 13 points and take LSU against Oklahoma? That question speaks to Corey as well.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I mean, I am a gambling man. I'll admit that. You know, I love horse racing. It's one of my favorite things to be a part of. But, you know, the funny thing with Oklahoma, when you have this much time to get ready for opponents, and it's going to be a challenge. LSU has played better the last 3 weeks on defense. They've covered better. The pressure's been better. But Oklahoma presents a huge challenge for them, you know, with CeeDee Lamb and, you know, with the way they play. Yeah, and this is a team that had the experience last year of being in the playoffs. So, you know, I feel like, though, to me, you know, as much as I love LSU, though, Oklahoma in 13.5 points, that's a huge spread for a game where I think Oklahoma offensively can move the football. I told about why I would love to have this coach here, because I feel like he can move the ball. LSU, Dave Aranda is going to be challenged by this Oklahoma attack for sure.
Kevin, I think that Jalen Hurts is fantastic. Yeah. You know, but I change every year with my quarterback at OU.
Right.
But the quote I sent you guys on Twitter last night from
yes.
Joe Burrow
yeah.
is frightening. He said, "You're going to have to kill us to beat us." And that right there, that's been his mentality all year.
Yeah, that very similar, you know, and I my experience of we won the Super Bowl in 96 in Green Bay, basically the same way, won the last 8 games, you know, through the playoffs and stuff. And you could have hit us with a truck. We weren't going to lose. You know, our players were on point, ready to go. And, yeah, and LSU's played great all year. They really, really have. But, you know, again, we'll see offensively, it's – there's going to be some, you know, I think Oklahoma's better on defense. I mean, Oklahoma doesn't give up.
I think they're poor on defense.
No, well, they don't give up 40, 50 points like they did the last
year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they had to, you know, Baylor's trying to drive the ball on them. What'd they do? They made 2 stops, made a stop in overtime. You know, that's what you got to do to win games.
By the way, Joe Burrow last night at the ridiculously named Home Depot College Football Awards won the Maxwell and Davey O'Brien Award for the best overall player and best quarterback, respectively, in college football. He will obviously win the Heisman next.
And Grant Delpit won the Jim Thorpe Award, too, for the defensive back. So, and then Coach O took home the Coach of the Year. So it was it was all purple and gold in the award show last night.
Kevin, I saw somebody, and they want to ask Broaddus. And Broaddus, I know that you know more than just football.
I'm trying.
Somebody said, how much would you bet Luka wins MVP this season?
Oh, wow. That sounds like a shot at my man to my left there. Is that right?
Don't bet on that. He's right now, he wouldn't win.
What are you doing?
I'm just saying, he wouldn't.
I'm enjoying watching him play.
He's awesome.
I'm enjoying, you know, the basketball stuff to me is a whole new vision. You know, I'm watching these games and stuff and listening to him and to watch him. It's always to me like he comes down in the vision. You know, we talk about players and scouting and stuff and quarterbacks having vision, field vision. you know, court vision has to be so important in basketball. The way, I mean, not only do you have to have the vision, but you have to be able to have the skill to make the passes to people or to take the shot or know when to do it. The way he manages a game is outstanding because you can kind of see that he's thinking two or three passes ahead,
yes,
of trying to get somebody near the rim, better shot, or if he doesn't feel like, you know, and again, he's, you know, the 3-point average has been down a little bit, but I think he's taken some pretty off-balance shots, some tough shots, but, you know, that will improve. But his vision of the court, I think, is one of the most impressive things that I've seen.
Yeah, that's the thing I see. It's like a running back that has great patience when you watch
him
walk it up.
He opens
up
so much
boom.
For you. Yeah, he opens up, you know, when the way – you can't stop him from driving, and then you can't stop him from making that pass that gets somebody open for a shot.
And if that pass ends up being more and more Kristaps down low, then I think it's going to be a freaking bonanza.
Well, they've been patient with him now.
I know.
They've been a good rim – he's done a great job as a rim protector, and now he's starting to score, and that's what they – you know, be patient with him. You know, the knee surgery, all that stuff, not playing. I think that's a big thing, a part of that.
And a brand new team and everything. Yeah there's a lot for him.
Doing a great job. Really
from the 419, Brian, who, looking ahead, who's the better fit at strong safety for Dallas? Should I hope to draft Delpit from LSU or McKinney from Bama?
I mean, Delpit just won the award, so.
Yeah, Delpit has not been as good as he's. Like I say, McKinney is an excellent player at Alabama. You know, Alabama safeties have had a little bit of some trouble. I mean, you go back and you look at the guys that have come through and you're kind of saying, okay, well, maybe we had these guys overrated a little bit. Usually Alabama players have kind of, you know, hit their ceiling, you know, is what they are. And I but, you know, McKinney is a really, really good player. Delpit, to me, does not tackle as consistently as I think I would like my safety. He's really good in coverage. And what's going to happen is when people study him on tape, they're going to see he lacks a little bit of foot quickness. You know, that's something, I mean, is safety, you want to be able to have range, you want to be able to cover, you want to get some ground. Delpit is a guy, he's around the ball, but as far as a finisher, you know, I think to me the Thorpe Award, you know, I think that was more on reputation than it was on how well he really played. He wasn't the best defender on the LSU in the secondary, I didn't think.
From the 240, Brian, what's going on with Jalen Smith? I also want to know that. He doesn't seem like the same guy from
overrunning
last
year. Plays. Yeah, he's overrunning, and I don't want to call it freelancing, but it's a form of freelancing. It's like you understand what you want to do, but you're so aggressive getting to the ball. You're trying to get to the ball. He's the lack of body control and balance. You see when guys – I was asked a question about tackling earlier from a gentleman here in the showroom. And to me, tackling is being able to get in position to be able to finish. And you have to have body control. You have to have balance. You can't just throw your arms out there. I know Brian Baldinger was talking about that. You're just throwing arms out there. You can't do that. And he's absolutely right. So, to me, you know, with Jalen, you see him overrun, but you've also seen when the ball has gone to the edge that he's been caught inside. He's not disengaging from blocks well enough. You've got to almost anticipate that if that ball gets to the edge, you're going to get some type of block. You're going to get a tight end up the field. You're going to get a tackle coming off. But you got to beat that block. You can't be latched on and trying to get over and make a play out on the edge when a blocker's in your chest. You can't do that. You've got to disengage, get over, and make the finish. And we haven't seen that well enough from him this year.
I saw a message come in on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, Kevin, and it is Marinelli the problem? Is he keeping Rashard from doing more?
No, it's not. This is when you look at, I like Rod a lot. He was very helpful to me when I worked for DallasCowboys.com. I respect what he's done. I think he's allowed Chris Rashard to do what he wants. If Chris Rashard wants to blitz more, Chris Rashard can blitz more. You know, they do come together with the game plans and stuff like that. It's not holding him back. You know, last year, I think one of the honorable things that Rod Marinelli has done is allowed Chris Rashard to be the defensive coordinator, to call the defenses. You know, this is on – if Chris Rashard wants to blitz or play a certain coverage or what all that, he has the freedom to do that. Rod Marinelli coaches the defensive line. The defensive line, I think, has not played well. If you look at the middle of the road when it comes to sacks and things like that. So that's been a problem.
Is it difficult for you to evaluate coaches or players when – because you said you like Rod Marinelli, you respect him, and I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Were you cautious or have you been cautious not to develop those kinds of relationships, though, in fear that it might ever color your coverage?
No. One of the things when I was in scouting, I used to have guys around the league, and this is a humble brag because I pay attention to coaches. I like to evaluate coaches and like other teams and look at their coaching staff. The first thing I do every year when the media guys used to come out was I'd look and mark down who every coach was on every team. I had a list of all the offensive line coaches. And so I had the ability to, like, our Ron Wolf at the Packers would say, hey, who is the best college coach at this position? Who is the best pro coach at this position? And I would have like a running total of who guys were I thought can do the jobs and stuff like that. Huh. So I always, and friendships aside, I just evaluate coaches. I feel like you have to be a teacher. You have to be a communicator. You have to be able to. And that's the one thing Rod Marinelli is struggling with right now when you talk to him is he doesn't feel like that his message to the players is getting through. And as a teacher, you know, when your message doesn't get through to the students, your students are going to do poorly. They're not going to score as well. And he feels like that's really a problem for him right now. The message is not getting through. And to be a really good coach, you got to be a teacher first. You got to be able to understand how to push, how to pull back. But you also have to be able to be that guy there for that player because coaches will tell you their job is to put players in the best positions to be successful.
He needs to go watch that Michelle Pfeiffer movie where she finally got her class to listen to her again. And Coolio did a song for it, Kevin. What was it called?
Is it Dangerous Minds?
Yeah, absolutely
it
is. I'm
so sad that I knew that information immediately.
Now sing the song, though. Sing Coolio.
Been spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise. You didn't think I would.
I didn't. I really didn't think you would.
Or maybe you thought I shouldn't, but yet here we are.
So, Kevin...
Did that throw you off asking another question? You weren't prepared for that, were you?
From the 469, do you guys still have lunch? Do we still have food back there, everybody? Is there food? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, yes, we still have some
food.
Hold
on, some people said no, but then I saw them take the food and eat it, so we have food,
I'm just saying. Yeah. A lot of whiskey, I know that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We got plenty of Balcones whiskey, and it's all to celebrate you, the Tolos. Thanks for coming out today so far. We still got another hour. You know what I just heard? Michael Irvin's flight has been delayed.
Oh,
and so they're not exactly certain how, like,
Hurricane Dion get to it.
We're not exactly certain when he's going to be in, but we will have Roger Staubach on as well.
There you go.
So we're getting ready to talk with him. If Broadus wants to hang around, he's more than welcome to. We'll get this thing rolling in just a few minutes, though. Thanks for joining us here on 105 Through the Fan.
Don't you like it when, like, you're here for an hour and then we're like, hey, could you just stay longer?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually have to go.
Oh!
Okay, well, guess what, Corey? The decade's best Major League Baseball team. Would you put any Ranger on the list? We'll talk about that. Hopefully, Michael Irvin and Roger Staubach. Holy crap, it's going to be a bonanza.
There's
next, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.